Paul Rozin has seen lots of dogs come and go during his 79 years. Suki, you get the sense, wouldn't make his Hall of Fame.
You know, we have our particular language. She knows treat. She's not, I would say, a less than, among the dogs I've had, I would say she's less than average in intelligence.
Ah, but what she lacks in brains, the white terrier with shaggy hair more than makes up for in loyalty.
Yeah, so she's been a good companion, and she's a surprisingly young dog. I mean, if you look at her, you wouldn't think she was 15 years old. She's pretty active.
Suki is starting to show her 15 years in other ways, though. Her back legs are arthritic, there's a heart murmur, and she started leaving unwanted puddles around the house. That's in part prompted a call to the family's vet, Dr. Tam Mangine, who makes house calls.
Well, we'll go ahead and do her checkup.
Okay.
And I always look in their ears just for any signs of inflammation.
Mangine is one of a fast-growing number of vets who specialize in geriatric and end-of-life care. She avoids aggressive treatments, focusing instead on reducing pain or anxiety for dying pets. And when the time comes, she'll perform in-home euthanasia. Suki's not there yet.
So she has a whole sort of list of chronic medical conditions, no terminal diagnoses, and that's what we consider palliative care as opposed to hospice care. So in her case, we are managing the chronic conditions as they come up, making sure her quality of life is good, trying to keep her from driving her owners insane with urinating in the house and that sort of thing. But, you know, we're not managing any terminal condition for her.
This holistic approach to dying well, to making sure an animal is comfortable and that its owners feel part of the process, takes its cues from the philosophy at the heart of human hospice. Though, of course, there's one big difference.
Veterinarians and pet owners both are a little quick to go to the needle.
Jessica Pierce is with the International Association for Animal Hospice and Palliative Care, a group of veterinarians who are working to bridge the gap between expensive treatment options that a family may not be able to afford and a premature end.
Hospice tries to fill in the realm of possibilities between those two extremes.
But along with extending the animal's life in a pain-free way, pet hospice is also about the owners. It gives them the chance to have the last days or moments take place at home rather than in a clinic. Dr. Danny McVitie is co-founder of Lap of Love, a national franchise of hospice providers.
There is a huge potential to have that pet be as comfortable as possible for as long as possible, and then for the family to grieve in a way that allows them the privacy of displaying their grief and having their grief without having to hide that from anybody.
Lap of Love launched in 2009 and now operates a network of 80 doctors around the country who did more than 15,000 home visits last year. Their clients do pay a premium. In-home euthanasia runs about $250. That's more than most clinics charge. Suki's visit with her vet, Tam Mangine, is just a $70 checkup. They're going to monitor her heart murmur and bladder problems for now and get her started on a joint supplement.
Those extra 6 months can mean a lot to people. It can allow them time to adjust to the loss. And for the pets, if we can keep them comfortable, even if their day-to-day routine is different, maybe they're sniffing the smells on the porch and watching the birds instead of chasing them through the woods, they're still happy. So why not let them have that joy?
Paul Rozin is on board with that attitude.
I give her more treats than I used to. She likes the dried chicken, which you can get very cheap at Costco. And, you know, I used to say, I'll give her one or two a day. You know, I'm a spoiler, but now I give her a lot because what the hell? That's one of the things she really loves.
Well, you only live once, right? For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.